Has it always been like this? I said. No. I mean, it's always been a shithole, but it's definitely worse than the last time I was here. It must have been different a month or so ago. The place would have been heaving. Most of the people for the ship would have had to come through here. The arrival of a starship around Sky's Edge was always something of an event. Being a poor and moderately backwards planet compared with many of the other settled worlds, we were not exactly a key player in the shifting spectrum of interstellar trade. We didn't export much, except the experience of war itself and a few uninteresting bioproducts culled from the jungles. We would have happily bought all manner of exotic technological goods and services from the Demarchist worlds, but only the very wealthiest people on Sky's Edge could afford them. When ships paid us a visit, speculation usually had it that they had been frozen out of the more lucrative markets, the Yellowstone Sol Run, or the fanned Yellowstone Grand Teton Run, or they had to stop anyway to make repairs. It happened about once every 10 standard years on average, and they always screwed us. "Is this really where Houseman died?" I asked Dieterling. "It was somewhere near here," he said as we crossed the concourse's great echoing floor. "They'll never know exactly where, because they didn't have accurate maps back then, but it must have been within a few kilometers of here, definitely within the outskirts of Nueva Valparaiso. At first, they were going to burn the body, but then they decided to embalm him, make it easier to hold him up as an example to others." "But there was no cult then?" "No. He had a few fruitcake sympathizers, of course, but there was nothing ecclesiastical about it. That came afterwards. The Santiago was largely secular, but they couldn't engineer religion out of the human psyche that easily. They took what Sky had done and fused his deeds with what they chose to remember from home, saving this and discarding that as they saw fit. It took a few generations until they had all the details worked out, but then there was no stopping them."
"And after the bridge was built?"
"By then one of the Houseman cults had gained possession of the body. The Church of Sky, they called themselves, and for reasons of convenience, if nothing else, they'd decided that he must have died not just near the bridge, but right under it, and that the bridge was not really a space elevator at all. Or if it was, that was just a superficial function, but really a sign from God, a ready-made shrine to the crime and glory of Sky Houseman. But people designed and built the bridge. Under God's will. Don't you understand? It's nothing you can argue with, Tanner. Give up now." We passed a few cultists moving in the opposite direction, two men and a woman. I felt a jolt of familiarity when I saw them, but I couldn't remember if I had ever seen any in the flesh before. They wore ash-colored smocks, and both sexes tended to wear their hair long. One man had a kind of mechanical coronet fixed on his skull, maybe some kind of pain-inducing device, while the other man's left sleeve was pinned flatly to his side. The woman had a small dolphin-shaped mark on her forehead, and I remembered the way in which Sky Houseman had befriended the dolphins aboard the Santiago, spending time with the creatures that the other crew shunned. Recollection of that detail struck me as odd. Had someone told it to me before? "Have you got that gun ready?" Dieterling said. "You never know. We might walk round the corner and find the bastard tying his shoelaces." I patted the gun to reassure myself that it was still there, then said, "I don't think it's our day to be lucky, Miguel." We stepped through a door set in the concourse's inner wall, the sound of chanting monks now quite unmistakably human, sustaining a note that was almost but not quite perfect. For the first time since entering the anchor point terminal, we could see the thread. The